Did you miss us? Well, we're back with a playoff edition of the Baseball Talk Radio Show. I'm Gary Mack.
And Rich Baxter over here. How are you, Gary Mack?
I am good, Rich. I have a little bit of a hip issue we were talking about that. So if I grimace a little bit, it's not because we said something that I didn't agree with. It's just a little bit of a pain issue. I know you got a little back issue there yourself, so we'd probably be on the IL, but we're going to gut it out and get through this show tonight for the people.
Yeah, it's these little back tweaks and muscle pulls and things like you don't think about. And just, you know, every now and again, it sneaks up on you and comes back to haunt us. But, yeah, we're back talking baseball with everyone. We hope everyone's having a good playoff season. It's just coming back from my first dinner out since the COVID crisis tonight, Gary.
So a big night.
Yeah, trying to grasp onto a little normalcy. Of course, outside in the air, it's fall in the Northeast, so it's, you know, you got a little crispness in the air.
Yes.
Smells like baseball, playoff baseball.
Yeah. And speaking of playoff baseball, have you been dipping in, as they say now, into the games at all and watching any of it?
Yeah, I've been dabbling here and there, not as much as I used to. I'm sort of trying to maintain my truth to myself that I wasn't going to go overboard into watching too much of baseball this season because of all the changes, the COVID crisis, things like that. It's nice to have in the background for me, but I have been tuning in to a little bit of the playoffs.
I have to tell you, I too have been dipping in, and I've been trying to watch more games. And sometimes I'll have something on the big TV, and I'll be watching on a tablet or something without the sound on. But I got to tell you, I've actually enjoyed the playoffs so far. It was a lot of good games, a lot of good plays. Crazy game today. The Dodgers scored 11 runs in the first inning, top of the first against the Braves. No mercy rule, though. But I have enjoyed the playoffs so far. And I think one of the key reasons is that the playing every day. I like that. I like the fact that they're really testing these guys. They're testing the managers and juggling the pitching staffs. There's none of that, you know, your apprehension, you get up and then, or they play a day and then they were off a day and then you had to wait for your team to come. No, this playing every day. I love it. I think that's something they should really consider keeping when next season.
Yeah, why put it off, so to speak? They want to try to get this season in the books. Very close to it now as we're going through the championship series of both leagues now. The Braves and the Dodgers going through a nice battle. And surprise, Tampa Bay Rays look like they're doing well as well, Gary.
Wow, they are. They're a powerhouse, and I'll tell you, they've got a good little team there, and they're doing it with power, but they're also doing it with smart hitting and going the opposite way and playing good basic baseball, great defense. Kiermaier, last night's game, I hope he's okay. I believe they took him out. He got hit by a pitch later in the game, but he made two sensational plays. Once he went over the wall, not sure if the ball would have went out. He had some room, but when you look from behind, it looked like he was over the wall and caught a ball. And then later on, then a couple of innings later, they made a diving catch to get them out of an inning. So some really good defense there for Tampa Bay, good offense, and they've been getting some good pitching. And, you know, they're up 3-0, I think, and they've got their big righty Tyler Glasnow going tonight, and he could end this thing. They could sweep Houston. And I know I'm going to say something unpopular here, but it wouldn't be the first time. I'm going to give some kudos to Houston. You know, I know a lot of people still mad at them and don't think they got punished enough, but kudos to Houston that with all of the allegations and all of the moves made and the players they lost, and they lost Verlander to Tommy John surgery, and they still made it back to the championship round. I think that tells you that they're a good team, and, you know, did they know some stuff? Sure, probably, but it just goes to show you, you still have to hit the ball, even if you know what's coming. You still got to be able to get around on it and time it right. Sure, it helps, but you still got to be able to do it.
That's true, and playing on the same theme, a lot of the teams that made it into the playoffs, not one of them was one of those bottom rung teams, seed 7 or 8, either one. The cream did rise to the top, and the mm-hmm. better teams are making it as deep as they are now. A
right.
couple surprise teams made it in. We're probably going to talk to our friends at Baseball and the Law a little later in the season and later this year about the Marlins. I know they were thrilled that their local team made it into the playoffs this year. So we're going to bring him on, talk more about that. But what do you think about that expanded playoff situation? I think I'm starting to warm up to it a little bit more now that we're almost through this 2020 COVID season.
Yeah, I think I agree. I don't know if I agree with 16 teams, maybe 12 teams. But I do like the best out of three for the wild card. I think it just makes it more interesting. You know, you battle for a wild card, and then one game, anything could go wrong. A team could get lucky. I think 3 out of 5 is was a better. Two out of three was a better format for the wild card this year, and the 3 out of 5. And I think there's a way to do it. I think. Eventually, what they're going to have to do is, if they want to expand the playoffs, which you know they want to do, I think they're going to have to cut the regular season down, depending upon how many teams you let in. 12 teams might be good. I don't know. 16 seems to be a lot. I don't know if 14 is better. I don't know how you would work it. They'd have to work it out. But, you know, what did they have now? It's 16, right?
Yeah, 8 and 8.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if 6 and 6 is better. That's what they were doing anyway, right? No, they were doing 5 with the two wild cards, the division leaders, and then the two wild cards. I don't know. Maybe you do it. You got to do it different. Maybe you just take the 6 top records and go with that instead of, but then that kills the division. So I don't know.
And if you're going to be honest with the way they make money these days with the playoffs, and people that have been to the playoffs know how expensive it is to bring these teams in, like the Marlins, for example, one that hasn't been there in years, over on the American League side, the White Sox, Toronto, for that matter, they haven't been there in years, but all of a sudden, you know, maybe it was time for their hometown fans to, you know, get a little taste of the playoffs. And, you know, I initially was against it, and I don't like a situation where half the teams are making the playoffs, but I've sort of warmed up to a little bit more, because it does make the postseason seem a little more exciting.
Well, and it may make Miami go out and want, you know, there's an incentive there to approve, because they got to the playoffs. They did win the wild card round, lost it in the division round. But, you know, maybe it's an incentive to go out to try to improve. And it certainly gives an incentive to everybody in the division. Our two teams, of course, are in the same division with Miami. To try to improve themselves. And the way Atlanta's playing, that might be tough. But you you have to see. I'm with you. I'm still on the fence about the 16 teams, but you know what? It's revenue, and that's what it's all about. And it has been interesting, but as long as they do things similar to what they're doing now, I think it'll be fine. If they go back to the off days and everything like that, that's why I say I think they're going to have to cut the season shorter at either 154 or 148. And I really don't have a problem with that. And start the playoffs, you know, and play the playoffs the same way. But, you know, if you want a day off, then sweep the team. They had 3 days off anyway between series because a couple of teams swept and then they waited for the other. And even when the Yankees and Tampa Bay went to the full five, I think Tampa Bay had a day or two off anyway before the next.
Just don't take our DH from the National League. Don't put the DH into the National League, rather.
Well, I think that's a given too. I tell you what, I even kind of like the idea of having the neutral ballparks. I don't know.
Playoffs.
Yeah, for the playoffs, because I think
but it takes that fan, you know, the towels. Well, of course, there was no fans hardly in the stadiums this year, but that's how those local teams are going to get and benefit from that revenue, of course.
Well, then the other thing I would consider is I would consider the World Series being on a neutral site, and played that way, you know, and you play the playoffs up to that point, because it's so nice to see them not be affected by weather at all.
And it would probably build it up more so like a Super Bowl situation.
Exactly.
Like you said.
Yeah.
You know, you're not localized into one area. You're going to build it into something bigger, possibly.
And then, and it takes away all those the travel days, you know. If the Yankees or the Mets are playing the Angels or something, you know, there's too many travel days in there. I want it where they're playing every day, and I think it was better. It's better for the sport. It's efficient, and like I said, it to me it creates more strategy for the manager, because they've got to, you know, do I use the guy in this game? I'll give you an example. Last night the Braves had a 8-3 lead, I think it was, going into the bottom of the ninth. They brought in a relief pitcher and the Dodgers, Seager hit a 3-run homer. Somebody else had a home run. Well, they had to bring in Melanson, who was their closer. Now, the whole point was they wanted to get out of that game because it was a laugher, more or less, and not use Melanson, but they had to get the last out or two. So, you know, now does that take him out of tonight's game? Or they got a break tonight because it's 11-0. They're getting cream, so they're obviously not going to use him anyway. But, you know, it's stuff like that, that when do you use a certain relief pitcher, because you know he's not going to get those days off unless we sweep the series. So, like I said, it opens up the whole game at least. And it adds some strategy in to the game on all levels. And I just find it, because it got through a series quick, and you're not there, oh, my God, are they still? You know, sometimes you'd be watching, and they'd have a day off, and then they'd have 2 days off for something, for travel, and then you're like, oh, when the hell are they playing again? At least you knew they were playing the next day. And now, especially with this with the four teams left, so I like it.
That's cool. So we'll see if that carries on to next season here, as we're already starting to think about, you know, 2021 and what that might bring. And before we go away from the playoffs and talk about the season itself, the TV ratings were up and down depending on what market you were at. Boston was down 54% this year. Of course, they had a terrible team. Cincinnati Reds were among the best in Major League Baseball's local TV ratings. So, you know, there's a lot of different explanations for why pro sports in general has dropped this season, especially since the pandemic. The NBA dropped dramatically. NFL still down on viewers. And it depends. I think the baseball playoffs themselves are pretty much being watched, but different teams had different results this year in this pandemic year. So I'm sure it's got baseball analysts scratching their heads as to why, the how, and did they lose fans? Will they be back in 2021? There's a lot of unanswered questions going into the offseason about that, and we're going to find out in 2021.
I think baseball is in a good position, Rich, because let's see how I can gently put this, but basketball has gotten themselves into a lot of trouble with the fans. They are down like 50%. I mean, their finals were just ended. A lot of people don't even know who won, and nobody cared. I think they were down 54% or 55% from last year's game six of the play, which was the final game. They had a game seven this year, and it was down 50% or something. I think they had 5 million viewers, and last year they had 11 million. Football, I think, is down also, and I think it's one reason. I think people are sick of the politics. And of course, basketball is announced there'll be no politics involved next year. They won't be able to put whatever they want on their jerseys, the Black Lives Matter or whatever. I don't know if they're going to have it on the court next year. We'll see if that causes a revolt with the players or whatnot. But I think people got tired of it. I agree with that wholeheartedly. I think it was just too much. They were trying to shove down people's throats. And, of course, football now with the kneeling and all of that stuff, people do not want to see that. They want to tune in and watch a game.
And I don't want to sound misrepresentative with this either. It probably wasn't people that generally just casually tune in either. It was maybe fans of the NBA, regardless of their race, that didn't want to see this either, possibly. And same with the NFL. MLB started out that way, let that slip into a different dimension almost after a certain number of days. But you can't discount that reason for this happening. And that's not to say that it might not carry into next year. A lot of people that just don't like the politics of anything for one reason or another, regardless of what it is for, they go to a sport to escape that. They don't want to be a part of either one side or the other, or the middle or another side. They went to watch baseball. They went to watch basketball. It was a haven for people to get away from politics, and sports somehow brought politics into their own demise, so to speak. Possibly we'll have to see in 2021, are these fans gone for good?
And honestly, basketball was the worst. You couldn't help but hit with the politics by just when the court itself was a political statement. They had Black Lives Matter on all the courts. And
different references to China, people's affiliations with China and things like that. So you had a lot of mixes going into that stew there and that cake, so to speak. But like I said, I think a lot of people, and all fans I'm talking about, not just certain fans of a certain persuasion, want to get away from all of that stuff. They want to push that aside. Sports was their getaway place. It was almost like government. You know, they don't talk about religion because it's not right. There's so many religious people out there. You'd offend half of the people by talking about one side of the people. But people would escape that to go to sports, and they felt safe there. They felt like they belonged there. That, you know, they found themselves a home there. Now all of a sudden, you know, for one reason or another, and like I said, it could be for any reason. People just want to escape that, and that was their home to escape it to. And, you know, maybe they lost them for good. I don't know.
I don't know. We'll see. I don't know what they're going to do, though, to bring them back, you know. That was a considerable drop off, and I think people just learned that they could do other things, and they get tired of it. And then, of course, LeBron James coming out with the statements that he's been coming out with off and on. It's not a he's probably the most popular figure, and yet he's not very well liked in a way. Right. So I don't know, but it's been a wacky year, Rich, and like you said, I think we'll see whether or not they'll pay for it. But you know, speaking of 2020 being a wacky year, Rich, we lost another Hall of Famer this past week, Joe Morgan of Cincinnati and San Francisco and Houston Astros fame. Passed away at the age of 77. We also lost Whitey Ford at the age of 91 or 92. He also passed away. I've got a lineup here, Rich. I'll read it out. These are all guys, baseball players that died, and a lot of Hall of Famers are on it this year. If you don't mind, I'll read it off. First base, Bob Watson, first baseman with the Houston Astros and the Yankees. He worked with the Yankees for a lot of years. Second base, Joe Morgan, as I said, the Big Red Machine, Hall of Famer. Shortstop, Tony Fernandez, Toronto Blue Jays, had a spell with the Mets as well. Third base, Tony Taylor, Philly. Always remember Tony Taylor. He always had that weird-shaped hat because he always wore the batting helmet, the inside batting helmet that they used to wear back in the 60s inside the soft cap.
And he was an institution in Philadelphia.
Oh, yeah, he was there for a long time.
Yeah.
Outfield, we've got Hall of Famer Lou Brock, who passed away a couple of weeks ago. Early in the year, another outfielder, Al Kaline, a Hall of Famer, died. Jimmy Wynn, the toy cannon for Houston, passed away. Catcher Hal Smith was a backup catcher with Pittsburgh, and I think Houston he played with. Pitchers, listen to this lineup that we've lost, and within a relatively short time. Bob Gibson, Tom Seaver, and Whitey Ford, all Hall of Fame pitchers, passed away this year. Don Larson, the only man to throw a World Series perfect game, and he passed away. And in my tablet's acting up here. Bullpen, Ron Paranowski, Johnny Antonelli, Mike McCormick, Matt Keogh, and Ed Farmer all passed away. And the bench, we lost Jay Johnstone, Claudel Washington, and as I said, Mike.
Yeah, two Let's big see. Names from the 70s there.
Yeah.
Jay Johnstone, Claudel Washington, I believe he was with the A's for a long time.
Yeah. Had a stint with the Mets. Glenn Beckett of the Cubs. Lou Johnson, who was with the Dodgers. Damaso Garcia, who was a Yankee at one point, and I think a Blue Jay. And Biff Pocoroba with the Braves, among other teams. And a manager, John McNamara, died. So lost a lot, and a lot of Hall of Famers, Rich. It's unbelievable how many quick count, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 or seven Hall of Famers that were that passed away this year. And I guess, you know, we're getting old. They're getting old. And I guess this is what happens.
I'm going to add another to that list. Probably didn't make the national media because he was a Phillies player. Kim Batiste, 52, mm-hmm. died at Louisiana Hospital after complications of emergency kidney surgery not too long ago, probably within the last 2 weeks, passed away from that. So, yeah, it's been a tough year for health with the pandemic, of course, and it still continues. Big names, the president getting it and apparently healed from it. Nick Saban, football coach, I just read, tested positive for that. And it's made its rounds through the baseball teams. We saw that over the year, which was incredible as well. So yeah. You know, it's just a testament, but, you know, it's very sad to see some of the names that we grow up with passing away. And of course, every day we get a little older and, you want to think that these people are going to be with us forever, you know, and, it's just a shame.
Yeah, I you know, especially when you get a guy like for us here in New York, Tom Seaver and Gibson and you know, Whitey Ford was 94 or 92 or gonna be 92. And so you can almost, you know, that one he was around a long time and but a Seaver and a Gibson who you never expected, you know, to go like that. And it's just, you know, like you said, we're getting a little older and they're getting older. So not much you can do about it, I guess. Father Time. We can't beat Father Time.
That's true. And it's amazing. Like I remember seeing Joe Morgan and John Miller for years do Sunday Night Baseball and they made a good team. It was, good back and forth between them most of the time. And, you know, then they retired from that and you don't hear from them for a certain number of years. And then unfortunately we hear, when they pass away, but yeah, legends of the game this year passing away and, what a shame. And, we can only hope for better with 2021.
It's funny you mentioned John Miller. I was, buddy of mine, Jeff Conan does the baseball and barbecue with Len, his buddy Len Aberman. They do a great job there, guys. Go listen to Baseball and Barbecue. He got me an invite to a Zoom conference that John Miller was the guest on. It was the New York Giants, let me get this right, Preservation Society. It's a group here in New York. And so it was. I had some technical difficulties, so I couldn't stick around for the whole thing. I kept cutting in and out, but it was interesting what I heard. And he was talking about his career and his past history. And I think this was before. It was a couple of days before Joe Morgan died, so there was no, you know, no. I don't think nobody had any idea that he was ill or whatever, but. At least nothing was said. But it was pretty interesting to listen to him and some of the stories that he had about his career and whatnot. So just wanted to get that in there when you mentioned
And I think he still does Giants games.
I think San he's does he do the home games maybe? He may not travel
as
much.
He does the home games, yeah.
Yeah.
Or he had been doing them as far as soon as last year, I remember him being on that.
Yeah, what went on there with well, the ESPN's been looking for a team ever since they let those guys go.
Yeah.
They haven't been able to solve that problem at all, so.
Yeah, and Tony La Russa is back in the news. He's been a special assistant in the Los Angeles Angels organization at 76 years old. He won the World Series as manager of the 1989 Oakland Athletics. He's now 76 years old. The White Sox are now talking to him about possibly managing them in 2021, goodness. Believe it or not, even at 76 years old. So Tony La Russa, one of those names that we've heard around baseball with the Cardinals forever. It seems like he's been a manager forever. Thinking about getting back into it at 76 years old this year, maybe managing the Sox next year.
Wow. Well, look, they had a good run. They made it to the playoffs this year, the extended playoffs. And I was shocked when they let the manager go, or it was mutual or whatever they want to call it. But I was a little shocked at that because he did get them to the playoffs. I don't know. Well, we'll see. You know, don't forget the Marlins had, what was his name? The guy that they brought back, and he was 80, I think, or something, wasn't he? A few years ago. I can't think of his name.
That'll be a trivia question for our next show.
Yeah, somebody write in and tell us who was the Marlins manager they brought. And I think he won. Didn't he win?
I have the picture of his face in my mind.
Yeah, me too.
I can't draw his name.
I can't think of his name. I'll see if I can find out. I'll look it up. But
yep, so we're looking forward to that, see what happens to there. And then, of course, baseball fans back watching the playoffs. 11,000 and a half fans being allowed into the stadium, apparently, to watch the World Series when that starts off. And that'll be interesting to see as well. I don't know. Would you want to be one of those 11,000 or so in the stadium?
Yeah, sure. Why not? Got to get back to life and elite it. By the way, he was Jack McKeon was the guy I was thinking.
Okay,
of.
Yeah. Jack McKeon. Yeah. I can still see his face.
You know, I got to say, it was a little strange. Maybe I got used to the cutouts now. Last night, Freddie Freeman, I think, was hit a home run, and to see people running for the ball, I was like, "Whoa, what is this?" It was interesting that they had, I believe it was in. I guess that was Texas they're playing. They had him in the outfield. I don't think there was any in the infield or behind home plate because the cutouts were still there. So I know some teams are sending out their cutouts now. That you can pick them up if you purchased a cutout for the season, which I did not because it was outrageously high priced. I noticed behind home plate was still all cutouts, and it looked like on the lower level. Maybe they'll let him in on the upper level or something later on. But cutouts remain. And I have to tell you, San Diego did a nice job. They had a lot of their fans still there. But they had sprinkled around. They had like a Tommy Lasorda and a Oral Hirschberg. Hershiser cut out, and I'm sure they had some Braves ones around as well. So, you know, they did a pretty good job. They're trying to make these guys as comfortable as can be. And I don't know. It's, for me, it's just working. I don't know why. It's just I'm finding more interest in it, and I guess a lot of it, like I said, I think because it's every day, but we'll see what happens next year.
Yeah, and it's something to look forward to every day, especially if, you know, you're still home with the COVID situation as much as everybody still seems to be.
Right.
Freddie Freeman adding about the fans in the stadium. Much needed, quote unquote, was his line. And of course, he's playing with the Braves, who are getting shellacked tonight in game three, by the way, here, Gary. They opened up 13-0, the Dodgers did over the Braves. I believe the last time I checked, it was 15-1.
Yeah.
So the Braves, or the Dodgers rather, trying to make a series of this, and we'll see if they can still continue to make it a series the next game. But
they've got the hitting shoes on tonight.
Yeah, it was now or never for them, I guess, as they're finding out with this. You know, you can get out of there quick in the playoffs.
Yeah. So, Rich, who do you like going forward out of these four teams? Who would you like to see in the World Series, and who would you like to win?
Well, if I had to, now I know that I believe the Rays will be in it, I would probably pull for the Rays. I like a few of their players on their team. They're not a big payroll type of a team. They're a small market. Tampa, of course, I'd like to see that franchise stay in Tampa, and that would be a great thing for them to win it all, I believe.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'd like to see the Rays. My brother lives in nearby in Clearwater, so he's a Rays fan now. When he's not rooting for the Mets, naturally, he gets them down there, so you root for where you are, I guess. And so I'd like to see them win. And boy, wouldn't that be something to be a doubleheader in sports. Tampa Bay won the NHL Stanley Cup. And now if they can win baseball, you know, we got the championship city is Tampa, Florida.
That's for sure. Yeah, it would be a double play for them. And one of my last topics up of the night of the podcast here, and of course we're on YouTube, so you probably have to tune into our YouTube feed to see this, Gary, but wow. Look-alike, are we looking at two pictures here of Mike Trout or is it Mike and someone else?
Wow, that is close.
Mike Trout on the left, of course, with the Angels hat on, and a guy named Matt Barkley on the right. Apparently he's a quarterback at USC.
I should have had him in an Angels hat. It would have really confused matters.
Yeah, so.
Gee, that's close, huh?
Yeah, there's a good article on Fox Sports about this, celebrity lookalikes. I'll scroll through a few more here. Nick Johnson and a guy named David Denman on the screen there. And let's skip that one. This one's pretty interesting. Brian Roberts and a guy named Chris Allen, who is an American Idol singer. They look pretty like the same here. Vladimir Guerrero and a guy named an actor here, Michael K. Williams.
I don't know if I'm buying that one.
That's a stretch. Here's a little Frank Zappa and Mike Maddox, maybe. Just
see some similarity there.
How about Bobby Flay and Josh Hamilton, maybe? Put a hat on Bobby Flay, maybe?
I don't know. I think that's stretching it a little bit.
Now, there's a hilarious one on here. I'm going to fast forward up to it. And I gotta say that I don't. Whoever made this up really stretched this one. But I had to laugh when I saw it. Let's see where it is here. There it is. David Ortiz and Esther Roll. I mean, come on.
Yeah, that's stretching it. Who's that Met we had down there a little further?
The Met, let me see.
Right there. Oh, R.A. Dickey. You know, that one's good. That I could see that one.
Yep.
That's got some potential.
Timmy Busfield with the series 30-something, apparently.
Right. I could see that.
A little bit of celebrity lookalikes there, and Trout has a few. So, yeah,
that was a close one with Mike Trout there.
Sort of like hocus focus.
Yeah, unbelievable.
Well, other than that, Gary, talk about our Patreon page, and I invite anybody that listens to this podcast to go over to patreon.com/baseballtalk. That's how you get to our Patreon page. And if you need directions to it or a link, please email Gary or myself, rich@baseballtalkradio.com or Gary@baseballtalkradio.com. We'll send you a link if you need it. We need some Patreon supporters. You know, I'm tired of hearing all these podcasts that have 100 Patreon supporters, listeners out there that, you know, care enough to say, hey, you know, yeah, let me support this podcast. Do you, how many commercials do you hear in our show? Probably not many. So we're not getting paid by the companies to do the show. So we're looking for Patreon supporters or somebody to come along to our website where we have our show. How's that? And that, of course, is anchor.fm over at the, you know, Home for Baseball Talk radio show. And it's anchor.fm/baseball talk radio show. Right there, you can subscribe to the show, find out where we're at, hit the support button. It's a little button that's right in the middle of that page. And you can do the same thing. And these are secure methods of payment. You just put your debit card in if you want to give us $1 a month, $2 a month. We'd appreciate it because, you know, we got to upgrade our systems for the coming playoffs, the World Series next year. So please consider sponsoring the show if you're a longtime listener or you like what we do here.
Very well put, Rich. Very well put. And, you know, as Rich said, it'll help us immensely. You give whatever you can and show us you like to listen. I know we've been a little inconsistent with the shows. We're working on that. It's just part of the whole year, part of 2020. There's really not a lot to talk about, but, you know, we'll try to get more guests on and stuff like that to make it interesting, and especially in this off season now with the long nights of winter coming, Rich, and so we'll be able to read some more, I guess, and see what's out there and get some guests in.
Yes, indeed, it's going to be an interesting off season. Talking about how the country's doing with the COVID crisis. Hopefully we're out of this mess at some point in time, being optimistic on that. But I want to thank everybody for hanging in there, being patient with us, listening to the show. Please hit that subscribe button so you get every show that we download and you don't miss any. And enjoy the playoffs, and we'll talk to you as the World Series begins.
See you next time.